Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Verse 6 reads, "But Timothy has just now come back to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love." Again, we see Paul's emphasis on faith and love. We see this throughout his writings, faith and love, and it's usually faith comes first, love second. Love, that is Christian love, is a result of one's faith or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the believer trusts Jesus and receives his love, he passes that love along to others. And Paul had just heard from Timothy that these believers were doing quite well when it comes to faith and love. Paul goes on to say, "He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as also we long to see you." And again, the word long, we see a relationship developing here between Paul, his company, and the Thessalonican believers. There was a reciprocal love, brotherly love, one for another, which Paul did not receive from the Corinthian believers. And that's what Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is all about. Verse 7, "Therefore, brothers, in all our distresses and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." All the distresses and persecutions. Now, the believers back in Paul's day were suffering persecution from all sides. It was from the Jews and from Roman society, depending on what city or town or area you might have lived in. Paul probably got more persecuted than the normal believer because of his visibility. We know that Paul ended up in Rome on trial. Paul's trial before Nero was really not concerning Paul. Paul really wasn't the one on trial there. Christianity was, in fact, on trial. To date, Christianity was seen by the Roman authorities as a sect of Judaism. In the Roman Empire back then, there was a legal list of legal religions. Judaism was a legal religion, so nobody could be persecuted because you were a Jew. There was persecution about Christians, and there was a debate about this because was Christianity a new religion or was it a sect of Judaism? For the longest time in the beginning days, they viewed it as a sect of Judaism. Therefore, Christianity was covered under Judaism as being legal. But by the time Paul got to Rome, there had been probably a few court cases where Christianity was on trial. There were some senators in the Senate that wanted Christianity to be a separate identity, a separate religion, and therefore make it illegal because of all the problems that surrounded this new religion. Verse 8, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." Verse 9, "Now we can thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you." So once Paul hears this good news, he is ecstatic. You can tell that Paul in some respects was a man of great emotions. I do believe that some days he was down, some days he was up. There has been some commentators in the past that thought that Paul might have even been manic, a manic depressant, because of the mood swings it appears that he had. And if you just read the Bible quickly, you won't catch these swings. You see them very much so in 2 Corinthians. We see it a little bit here. You know, he's down on one page wondering about these believers. He's afraid. Read the next page. He's overjoyed. Verse 10, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, these people had strong faith. These people trusted Jesus more than we do today because of their situation. They had to trust him, and their lives proved it. Now, what is Paul talking about here? A lack of faith. Well, it's not that they lacked in faith. It's just that faith or trust in Jesus can always grow. We can always trust more in Jesus than we presently do. And that's all Paul is saying here. He just wanted to help them take the next step in trust. It's not that they were backsliding in their faith. Verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Now, in the last section, you will recall that Paul said that Satan prevented him from coming to Thessalonica again. It was Satan who actually put a roadblock between Paul and Thessalonica. Now we see over here in the verse that I just read that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, both of them, is about ready to clear the way. Paul didn't rebuke. Paul didn't cast demons out. Paul didn't tell Satan to get out of the way. He stayed until God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ got Satan out of the way. As I said in the last section, too many Christians try too many times to rebuke and bind the devil. The devil will not be bound until Revelation 20 comes true. Only an angel sent from the Lord Jesus Christ will have Satan bound. We can't bind him today. Verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. You see, again, Jesus, a relationship with him, trusting him, produces something real in somebody's life. And in this situation, it is mutual love for others in the body of Christ. This section ends in verse 13. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of his holy ones. Again, Paul is speaking about the future return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer is that these people will stand before Jesus as being blameless when he comes with his holy ones. Now, there is a discrepancy between scholars. Who are these holy ones? Are they angels or are they believers? There's an argument, probably a pretty good argument, for either side. I tend to believe the holy ones here spoken of are the saints who return with Jesus to this earth and rule with him for 1,000 years. We'll look at chapter 4 next time around.